Did she just say Pastor Mark is going to put on a show? Is that what we have happening? I'm sorry to disappoint everybody what you came to see today. Anyways, I'm super glad that she's a part of the staff now. We've got some really good days ahead. I'm glad you're here. We had a wonderful weekend last Easter weekend around here. You know, it was just really neat for us, those of us who have been around here for a while. We had just under 1,000 people for Easter weekend here at Venice Church. Wasn't that great? And the reason it's like, I even told somebody this morning, I said, when I feel like I say that, it's like it's bragging or something. And it's really not. It's just there were about 40 to 50 people here just about 4 years ago. And so it's just so exciting to see people coming and getting to know Christ and walking and other people coming who are just checking things out. So I'm super stoked about that. Thank you for, I had lunch with somebody this week who still had his found coin in his pocket that he was praying for people to come to service. So God bless you guys. Today is a real exciting day. We have our cannonball celebration from our commitment weekend that we had a couple of weeks ago. So I'll be sharing some neat stats and numbers at the end of the service about what we have collectively raised and what we're doing with that. So I'm excited about that. But I'm super stoked to get into the message this morning. This is one of my favorite passages that we're going to be talking about in all of Scripture. It's had as much impact as anything else in Scripture in my life. I lived in this passage for probably about a year, and I'm going to talk about just one portion of it. We're in a series called Jesus Is. Last week, because it was Easter Sunday, it was Jesus Is, anybody remember? Risen. That's right. And this week, week two, we find our Jesus Is in the Gospel of John. So you have that on your outline. We have it on the screen. We're going to look at one verse and start from there. John 15, verse 5 says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Those are the words of Christ. And it's really kind of critical to understand the backdrop of when he said this. They had just had the Last Supper. And so the reason they called it the Last Supper was because it was Jesus' Last Supper. I told you this is deep today. So they have the Last Supper, and you remember what happened at the Last Supper. This is when he introduced communion. He took the bread and the wine. He said, "This is my body is broken for you, this blood of a new covenant," and established that. And then he also girded himself with a towel, and he washed his disciples' feet, showing them, not just telling them, but showing them that this is what it means to be the greatest among you. So if you've seen me do it, you do it also. So this evening was chock full of important lessons, important things that he wanted to pass on to his guys before he left, before he was crucified. And then after supper, it says they got up and they took a walk. How many of you do that after supper? Last weekend, after a big Easter dinner, did any of you get up and just go take a walk? We do that all the time, but we do it in order just to try to make room so we can come back and be more gluttonous around the big meal, right? So Jesus gets up with his guys and he goes and he takes a walk. But this was a walk that he was not coming back from. On this walk, he had a conversation with now his 11 disciples, and he knew that he was about to be taken away from them, and what he said was going to matter so much. He needed them to get it. So on this walk, they were headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where he was going to be handed over to the Romans and be crucified. The Garden of Gethsemane was at the base of the Mount of Olives, and on the walk from where they were in Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, they would have passed by a lot of vineyards. It was full of vineyards. And so he used this moment of the being by the vineyards and talking about that with the truth that he wanted to say, that this was the thing. It was his final conversation with his friends. And he was saying, you need to get this. I mean, if you ever knew that you were going to have one last conversation with your loved ones or your friends, you would make your words matter. You'd want to say something to them that they would remember. And so he is very intentional about what he said to them on this walk. I want to read the text again. As he's walking by the vineyards, he says, "Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Here's the message, big idea for this morning. You could write this down. It's we only bear fruit that matters when we stay connected to Jesus. So we're all bearing fruit. I mean, meaning that fruit and things are being produced from our lives, our behaviors, our conduct, the way we treat others, how we invest our time, our talent, or treasures. We're all bearing fruit, all of us. What we want to be intentional about is at the end of our lives, as we look back, did we bear fruit that really matters? And in order to bear fruit that matters, fruit that really lasts in our lives, it's going to be imperative that we stay connected to the vine, that relationship to the vine, in order to bear fruit. And so this morning, I want to look at six areas, six characteristics of connectedness. How do we maintain, how do we have that life-giving relationship with the vine, who is Jesus? So here we go. Number one, characteristics of connectedness. It is organic. He didn't take them by a construction site and say, hey, I'm the mortar and you're the brick. Or a farm, I'm the yoke and you're the oxen. Those things are separate from one another. This is organic. He intentionally brought this up around a vineyard saying, look, here's how it works between us. I'm the vine, you are the branches. You are connected to me. This is not a mechanical relationship that we have with God. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. He's there, I'm here, and I'll just try to do enough to make him, you know, happy and try to live a better life and something that's just, it's regulations. He says, this is real. In fact, just a little further down in the passage, he said this. It's not on your outline, but it's on the screen. He said, I call you my friends. For all the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So this is what he's saying. You guys are my buddies. What's characteristic about a friendship? You hang out. You talk. In fact, a really good friend, and you know this, a really good friend is one that you can just really be yourself with. You're not trying to figure out how you're appearing or coming across. They like you in good days and bad days. They know your flaws, your warts. They know the neat things about you. And they're a friend. This is what Jesus was saying. This is not mechanical what we have. This is organic, it's life-giving, it's sincere, it's authentic. That's all he is interested in with us. So we have to start out, how do we do this connectedness with Jesus? Number one, we gotta make sure it's not something mechanical or perfunctory, but something that is very real and authentic and life-giving. Number two, it is exclusive. This means that the branch has an exclusive relationship with the vine. He belongs to the vine belongs to the branch. The branch is not like sizing up other vines, saying, huh, look at that vine across the way over there. That looks like it might be some fun over on that vine. The vine and the branch have an exclusive relationship. This is why he said in the first verse of John chapter 15, he said, I am the what? True vine. My Father is the one who cares for the vine. I am the true vine. What he's saying there is there are other vines. There are other vines that are going to kind of tempt you, kind of try to get you to go attach yourself to that in order to get what you need in life. And we know this. That could be a career. That could be the chasing after money or more things or fame or whatever it is, something that we are, and hear me on this, another vine, a false vine, is something that has promises but can't deliver. Something that looks attractive. It could even be a relationship. It could be that Miss Wada being at the workplace who you're like, oh, I bet that'd be fun vine to get together with. Sorry, there's also the guy Wada Boom. We don't discriminate here. And there's this illusion of, man, if I had that, or if I went to that vineyard over there, that we're somehow looking for that to give us life. And Jesus said, look, I am the true vine. I am the only one who can promise and keep what he promises to you. The only one who can give you what you really need to be sustained in life. And so we have this exclusive relationship with Jesus. Now we have other relationships, good relationships. We have relationships with our spouse. We have relationships with our kids, with our friends. These are good things, but there's only one place, one person, and hold yourself in check on this, where we are saying, I am looking to you to be my life giver. I'm not looking to him. I'm not looking to her. Even our spouse, kids to parents, teachers, whatever, other relationships, We are exclusively looking to the one who is able to give us what we need to produce the fruit in our life that we are longing to have. Our relationship is exclusive. Here's the next one. It is continuous. It is continuous. For us to receive what we need from the Lord, it can't be just an on again, off again. You know what I'm saying? We're not getting what he is wanting to give us if our relationship with him, if our connection to him is being disconnected all the time. And we come on and it's off and then it's sporadic and I'm on and off. That determines what we're receiving. And it's a bummer to be disconnected. I have, Marianelle and I raise our granddaughter. She's 3 years old. Many of you know her, the beautiful terror, Grace. Grace has an iPad. We call it a babysitter. Don't judge. You do it too. She calls her iPad Elmo, which is kind of cute because when she first got the iPad, all she ever watched was Elmo, right? So she just associated, this is my Elmo. And so she'll be walking around with her Elmo. She's so cute. And every now and then I'll hear her say, Papa! Papa, come now, come now. And I'm thinking something's really happened. And I find her because she'll go wandering around room to room with her Elmo held up like this. And she'll go, my Elmo is lost. My Elmo is lost. It disconnected from Peppa. Where's my Peppa Pig, Papa? Get my Peppa. How many of you know Peppa? Come on, anybody with kids knows Peppa Pig. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And so she's panicking because she's lost connection. And I'll tell her, oh, Elmo got tired and had to take a nap. I don't know how long I'm going to get away with this one. She looks at me like, yeah, I don't know about that. Just kind of hoping she'll follow sync and take a nap with Elmo herself. When we're disconnected, we get frustrated. We start bearing bad fruit. When we get disconnected, we cannot receive what it is we're intended to receive. It's the same way with God. Again, look at the opening verse we read. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who, what's that word? Abides, a continual presence. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And do you see why this, and this is kind of a little side note, but you cannot abide. You can visit, but you cannot abide if your relationship with God is predicated on your performance. Because then you will only abide when you're doing good. And when you feel worthy of abiding, he wants us to abide in him. This is the invitation of God. Hey, look, I know you, he says. I want you to abide with me continuously through your good days, through your bad days, through your failures, through your mistakes, through those glorious moments, and through those moments that you wish would have never happened. I'm your friend. I want you to abide with me. Our connection to the vine is Jesus. And friends, he's the one who's inviting. He's not saying, I need you. He's really saying, you need what I have to give you. One of my all-time favorite books is a book called Abide in Christ. And the author, Andrew Murray, wrote exclusively on this topic right here. And I want to read you just a quote that has touched my heart for years. He says, you are the branches of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is in your heart the consciousness that you are not a strong, healthy, fruit-bearing branch, not closely linked with Jesus, not living in him as you should, then listen to him say, I am the vine. I will receive you. I will draw you to myself. I will bless you. I will strengthen you. I will fill you with my spirit. I, the vine, have taken you to be my branches. I have given myself utterly to you, children. Give yourselves utterly to me. See, that's the desire of the vine. That's the desire of Jesus, to calm, to heal, to empower, to guide. He doesn't want us disconnected. He wants us connected so that he can bring life-giving power and comfort to us. I don't get that when I'm disconnected. So I want to make sure. I don't get it. How many of you ever get disconnected and you don't realize it until you all of a sudden you see this bad fruit being born in your life? Like, where the heck's that coming from? Right? And for us guys, it's okay because if we can't hear God, our wives will remind us that we need to go get reconnected to Jesus, right? Thank God for that. There's a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, wife. That's kind of how it goes right there. Here's number four. While our connection is continuous, it is also progressive. It takes time to produce fruit. You don't go plant an apple seed and come out the next morning and expect a tree. It takes time. We are looking for progress, not perfection. Repeat that with me. We are looking for progress, not perfection. That's the key in our lives. Are we making progress? Progress at what? At bearing fruit. You say, Mark, you keep talking about this fruit. What is this fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Read these with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you think that we'd like a few more of those things in our lives a little bit, yeah? So that's the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. But a lot of times what happens is that we stop abiding because we're not seeing the fruit yet. And that's why also in Galatians, Paul writes to them and says, look, don't grow weary in your well-doing, in your connectedness. Don't grow weary, for in due season you will reap if you don't lose heart. It's that due season part that we have a problem with, isn't it? Because that due season isn't coming quick enough. We're still seeing that temper flare, that jealousy or whatever in our personal lives, in our marriage, in our families. In the admonition of Scripture is be productive, be in progress, be in progress. Aren't you glad you aren't where you were maybe a year ago? Those of you who have been walking with this. And all of a sudden you realized, wow, I handled that situation differently than I would have a year ago. I would have went ballistic on that person, and this time, you know, I just slapped him. So whatever it is, you have gotten more mercy. You've gotten more compassion. That didn't come overnight. That came as a result of you sowing into that and being connected to Christ. And so it's something that we continue to do. Here's the thing. The danger is that our growth, you know, it's progressive, it's gradual, so therefore we can lose heart if we're not focusing on, no, I'm doing this as a way of life, I'm staying connected, and in due season I will reap. But disconnectedness is also gradual. Disconnectedness is also gradual. It doesn't come overnight as well. When you are disconnected from Christ and from others, you'll notice over time there's some things that are happening that you didn't think you would do. I can tell you a number of times where I've had a gentleman or a lady in my office after they have been caught in an affair and they are humiliated, they are broken, they are embarrassed, they're ashamed, and they have said to me, Mark, I cannot believe I did it. I never would have thought I could do something like that. Let me tell you, we are all capable of anything outside of being connected to Christ, of anything. Or it's a dad who says, later on in life when his kids are adults, I swore I would not do what was done to me. And now I don't have a relationship with my kids because I was so busy chasing the dollar, chasing the career, or whatever else. The fruit of disconnectedness doesn't manifest itself that moment you started making those decisions. It's gradual. And over time we get numb to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And we don't realize it. And then we find ourselves in a position where we're saying, how did this happen? It happened months earlier, or maybe a year earlier, when we stopped being connected and we started chasing after other vines in our lives. So we want to be cautious of that. We don't want that to be our story. We want to bear fruit that matters, fruit that lasts. Okay, let's look at number five. Characteristic of connectedness is it is deliberate. It is intentional. Truly successful lives don't just happen magically. Like they were just born the right way. It's intentional. And I don't mean by success, I don't mean just prosperity. I mean successful living. It's intentional. We put certain things in our lives. I don't remember who said this, but I love this quote. It says, we all have two lives, and the second one begins when we realize we really only have one. That this is it. This is no dress rehearsal. This is it. So how I live my life, I want to be very deliberate about it. I want to be intentional about it. I want to put things into my life that are going to get me to my desired end. When I look at what kind of character I want to have, like the fruit of the Spirit, how many of us, we would agree and say, yeah, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Yeah, those are good things. They sure beat the alternative. How do we get that? I want to put certain things into my life that help keep me connected, because all of us can get disconnected. So we put certain things into our lives that help us stay on the right track. Things like prayer, where we say, this is something I'm just going to have as a regular part of my life. And it's not going to be rote. It's going to be spontaneous. If your prayer life is suffering because it's just more of the same and you repeat this and do that, take a walk with him. Go for a walk. Put on some good music and talk to him. Sit and watch a sunset. Do whatever. Walk around your neighborhood. Sit down if you're usually walking. Do something that keeps it fresh. Shut the screen sometimes on your iPad or your phone or your computer and just lay down on your couch and put on some worship music. Right? Invite Maya over to your house. She will sing over you. Sorry. There's a new job offer right there. Put on some worship music and just sit and lay. Have you done that? Do that. Just some downtime. Shut off Facebook. Shut off social media and just lay down and be with him. These are things that help foster connectedness. Be in a growth group. Because guess what? Hear me. Grapes grow in a cluster, not by themselves. Don't try to do this all alone, even if you've been hurt in the past. Nobody gets out of this life unscathed. So be in a cluster, be in group, be in growth groups or ministry teams, opportunities to do life with each other, putting things into our lives that foster connectedness. So that's what we want to do. We want to be doers. We want to be wishers. We want to be people who say, this I take very seriously. I want this life in me. I want to live a life for the glory of God. I want this kind of fruit in my marriage. I want this fruit in my personal life. I want it in my family. And so I'm going to do it. Here's my question. Are you doing the things that God is already telling you to do? Does he have to keep telling you to do something before you do it? Francis Chan, a favorite author and speaker of mine, he gave this illustration. I thought it was pretty funny because it highlights it. He talks about a dad who comes to his son and he tells his son, hey, clean your room. Okay? Son says, yep. So he goes away and he comes back a little bit later and he says, did you clean your room? He goes, I'll tell you what I did, Dad. I committed that to memory. I memorized what you told me to do. Dad goes away, comes back a little bit later and says, son, did you clean your room? Son says, here's what I did. I tattooed that truth on my arm. I have one running right down here that says what you said right there. That's how much I think of it. So he goes away and he comes back later and he says to the son, son, did you clean your room? He goes, I did one better. I gathered with four of my friends. We went down to a coffee shop and we broke open books about the subject of cleaning one's room. We found that clean is actually klineo in the Greek. And we studied the significance of cleaning one's room. Dad walks away, he comes back, he says, son, did you clean your room? He goes, no, but what I did do is I went to a conference where we study cleaning one's room, how to be more efficient. Listen, this is so many folks. Clean your dang room. I changed that in my notes just to make sure I didn't get in trouble. Clean your room. Do the things that God has called you to do. He's already put certain things on your heart. He's challenged you. You feel like, man, I feel like I should do it. Because that next step creates motion for the next step. There's things God wants to reveal to us, but it takes these steps to get there. Just keep taking that next right step. Be deliberate. And here's the last one. Last characteristic of connectedness and what it means to be in connection. It is productive. It is productive. God really wants us to produce this fruit. And not like as a demand, but as in, that makes the quality of one's life better to have that fruit of the Spirit flowing through our lives, patience and goodness and gentleness and all of that. He wants that. So the test of am I producing is not how many good things am I doing? What am I doing? The test is that fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of these, is that fruit coming out of my life? That's the test. I've known some people over my years who can quote the Bible back and forth and yet still are rude and treat people like idiots. So it's not about how much you've memorized or how much you've done. Here is the test. What makes somebody mature in their faith, in their walk with God? It's not what they know. It's not how well they can do this or how well they can do that. Is the fruit of the Spirit being born in your life? That's the test. That's what God wants. And he doesn't want it, again, as some demand. He wants it because that really is a quality of living, to live with the fruit of the Spirit in your life, that it becomes something that naturally gets given to other people. And that is a result of being connected. But here's the other area of productivity that I think is very cool about God, is that the fruit being produced is that God wants you and I to produce fruit that is unique to us individually. It's not, and this kept me away from God for a number of years, is I thought if I really wholeheartedly surrender, then I'm gonna lose myself and I'm gonna become weird. I'm gonna become one of those weird Christian people who all walk the same, dress the same, talk the same, look the same, and say things like, bless you, brother, and bless you, sister. And then I would end up in some remote village in Madagascar, spending the rest of my life tending to people's sores on their feet or something, I don't know. It's funny, but I kid you not, I really thought, I'm gonna lose myself. I'm no longer gonna be able to be me. That's just not true. Remember, we talked about that last week with freedom. God's desire to bring freedom is to bring you back to how you were originally designed, which is to be free. We are so unique. God doesn't want us uniform, some conformity. You have a unique design about you that God wants to release. He wants you to have that. He made you that way. But only connected to him can he really bring that true essence of who you really are out. He was by a vineyard when he said this. Do you know that I just found this out this week, there are over 10,000 different types of wine grapes? I mean, how many grapes can there be? That's not even other grape. We're just talking about the smaller wine grapes, which make a ridiculous amount of different types of wine, all with unique flavors, all with unique textures. In fact, I got an illustration for it. Some of these wines are full-bodied, like a Cabernet. Or there's the delicate and fresh Pinot Noir. And then you have the tart and very acidic Sauvignon Blanc. Sorry, I'm gonna get some letters in the mail this week. Here at Vintage Church, we have some house wines that we love. We have the very sweet Riesling. Aww. Who's not old enough to drink a Riesling yet? We have the Zinfandel, which is zesty and full of taste. That's a fact. And then you cannot forget most people's favorites, a fun and fruity Merlot. This is, yeah, you look around this eclectic group that we have here at Vintage Church, and the idea is not to get people to conform, it's who is the real you? Let's let God release that, so that it can be a blessing in your life, but also a blessing to other people's lives, right? That's what God wants to do, and it comes. He's not a taker, he's a giver. He wants to restore life. All right, let me close. There's a scripture here. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The reward, this sounds kind of crazy, but here it is. The reward for being a vine that is actually producing is pruning. Like, huh? How about like leave me aloneing? No, when you're producing, you love it because all of a sudden you see, man, I responded in mercy or I responded in compassion. I had more patience. And that's a good thing. That becomes addictive. You want more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. And there's a way that that comes about. He brings the shears and he starts to prune. And there's two types of things that need to happen. One is that certain things just need to be cut back in our lives. They just need to be cut back. It's the whole principle of the enemy of the best is the good. Some of these things that need to be cut back are not inherently evil or wrong. They're overcrowding too much. It's like somebody watching 5 hours a day on TV or on social media constantly doing these things. He's like, okay, wait, it's crowding you out. You're giving too much to that. It's no longer just enjoyable, it's addictive now. You don't know how to go without that. And so he says, we gotta trim that back because it's hurting you. It's cutting, it's not allowing my life to flow through you. Does that make sense? That's pruning. There's other things though that he says, this needs to be cut off. This is killing you. That addiction you have, that secret sin that nobody else knows about or whatever it is, that's killing you. And it's like we talked about, the disconnectedness is progressive. People may not see it yet. It's gonna expose itself one day. That needs to be cut off. That toxic, dysfunctional, unhealthy relationship that you're in, that you're only in it because you're scared to be alone. Look, this pruning's gonna hurt, but it's because I love you. We gotta cut that off. It's killing you. That's gotta go. Because I have some other things for you, but I can't even bring them in because you're packed full of this other dysfunctional stuff. Let's get rid of that. And here's why connectedness is so important, is because if we're not connected to him, abiding in him, we will misinterpret that pruning process. And all we're gonna pay attention to is the pain and how much this hurts and this isn't fair and why is this and woe is me, and not because we're not connected. But when we're connected, we're like, okay, Father, this is gonna hurt. Let's do this, because I know on the other side of this is life, is purpose, is freedom, is love, is joy, peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's this good fruit that I can look back on one day and say that was fruit that mattered and fruit that lasts. So let's pray together this morning, and let's be conscious of this prayer this morning and just ask the Holy Spirit in our lives. Is there an area that needs to be pruned? Maybe some things that just need to be cut back a bit, yeah? Or is there something that needs to be cut out? Because I want to exclusively belong to the vine. Lord, we come before you. We are grateful for who you are. You know us and you accept us. You love us. But you love us enough not to allow us just to stay the same, especially in areas of brokenness. And so we pray, you are the vine keeper. We ask you, do in our hearts what is necessary so that we may produce more fruit that not only enhances our lives, but gives glory to you and blesses other people. We are with you. You are our vine today. We declare that. We love you. Thank you. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you that your thoughts towards us are good. In Jesus' name, amen.